Continuing our series this morning, Lloyd Roberts of Atlantic joins us this morning. Lloyd drafted in 1953 into the United States Army and had some interesting experiences toward the tail end of the Korean War. Lloyd, good morning. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Good morning.
Appreciate it very much. You were drafted with actually a pretty decent-sized group of guys from around the area.
Yeah, 17 from Cass County were all drafted at the same time and sent to Fort Omaha to be inducted in the Army. And then we were shipped to Camp Crowder, Missouri, and from there to Fort Chaffee, Arkansas, and eventually to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, where I took basic training and fire direction school for artillery. Graduated as a fire direction computer 1 week after armistice signed in Korea to Daegu, Korea for 5 months. And later 50 miles north of Chuncheon on the DMZ border for 7 months in what had been North Korea. We lived in tents in headquarters, 24th Division, 52nd Field Artillery. Headquarters on one side of the river and three firing batteries, A, B, and C, on other side. Fire direction operated in an underground bunker with four rooms underground, 24 hours a day. A forward observer was on the mountaintop and would report any activity in North Korea by telephone, wore around our neck in contact with firing battery. Firing battery person that I was connected to was Ulan Burks from Fowler, Indiana.
You know, even though it was the tail end of the Korean War, and actually it just ended before you guys had got, there were still some tensions. You're there on the DMZ. It's not just sitting around waiting for things to happen. There's still some tension-filled times.
Yes, we were in a restricted area. We had to wear our steel helmets and carry a rifle anytime we were outside. Civilians weren't allowed up into our area. Our motor pool backed up to a mountain and against a DMZ.
Kind of a tough region.
It was a nice area as long as it was peaceful.
Yeah.
We did have down the road from us was a group from a foreign country, I think from Sweden. And a couple of our guys got stranded down there and they said the food was better there. But we did have a really good baker in Korea. And so we had good bread and good rolls. And where we worked underground 24 hours a day, at night we would take all the leftover sweet rolls and stuff and all the coffee we could carry down into our underground bunker so we'd stay awake by that way.
Well, you had a lot. There were a lot of things to see and a lot of experiences and what have you. What are some of the things that you remember about seeing about the Koreans and how they were living at the time?
Well, some of the small Korean towns were really sad to go through. Most of them lived in shacks, and some of the shacks were just merely cardboard boxes. But the ones that were nice, they were mostly one-room houses, and they had a big hole in the center of the room, and the heat came up from underground, so they had central heat, and the floors were, I don't know what wood the floors were made out of, but they were always polished really, really nice. Mm-hmm. And when they would thrash or harvest or grain, it was all done with a hand saw, and then it was hauled to a flat area, and all the neighbors would come in and beat it with sticks to thrash the grain, and then the straw would be used for the thatcher roofs on their houses.
It was a hard life for them.
It was a hard life, but I guess they didn't know any better. But they all had good gardens. I remember seeing lots of potato plants and smelling their kimchi that they really loved to eat.
Well, and you had a chance to go back to Korea here not too long ago to visit again and see. I'm sure it didn't look anything like it did back then.
A couple of years ago, we went to China, and spent Shanghai and spent 3 or 4 days there, and then boarded a cruise ship and to go to Japan and Korea. And when we got ready to get on the cruise ship, the fellow said, well, you only got a one-entry visa into China. You can't go on a cruise ship and get back into China. But they said that we'll work with you, and you can get off in Busan, Korea. And so we did that because I wanted to see more of Korea than just our cruise line was going to give us. And you know, they got us a nice hotel. It was called the Phoenix Hotel, right on Main Street. And it's now Busan. It used to be Busan, but they changed it to Busan. And right across, short distance from our hotel, was a fish market. And that was really interesting. It went for several blocks, and I saw more different kinds of fish and seafood. And
right.
And but the street past our hotel was 6 lanes wide, and it was solid with cars. So Korea has now went from a cow and a two-wheel cart to an automobile.
A whole lot of change there going on.
Very much.
You know, we talked earlier about how it was still, even though there was a truce at the time, being, you know, in the demilitarized zone there with Korean camps within range, you know, there was always the danger that something could come up. And, you know, in your job, with your duties, you kind of dealt with that all the time.
Where I had contact with the artillery, the howitzers, if I would have said fire one, the war would have started all over again. It didn't. I kept my mouth shut.
Well, that was part of the job, too, was to make sure that you always, you know, you kind of knew where everything was and kind of kept tabs on things. But, you know, it's still, you know, you're in a position where you just never know what might happen from day to day. And all it takes is one rogue somewhere to really cause problems. And you were telling me a story about how sometimes the North Koreans would come into the vehicle area there and would steal some things here and there. But what do you do about it? You can't shoot them or at them.
Chase them home.
Yeah. Otherwise, you run the risk of restarting hostilities once again. Mm-hmm. Well, after the Korean experience, then you went to Hawaii?
Yes. Before we went to Hawaii, Dwayne Casey from Cascade Island, I went to Tokyo on R&R in April 54, and that was the first time that I had stayed in a building overnight, because we lived in tents the whole time that I was in Korea. And shortly after we got back from, while we was in R&R, it was a 7-day R&R, and we were ready to come back. The planes were all grounded because of an incident in French Indochina, which later turned into Vietnam. I mean, they changed the name from French Indochina to Vietnam. So we got to spend 3 extra days at the Army base in Tokyo. We couldn't go back downtown. Later, I drove our deuce and a half truck full of soldiers down to by Chuncheon to see Marilyn Monroe. She was on a honeymoon with Joe and came to Korea to entertain troops. Yeah. But our outfit had to wear their helmets and carry rifles. And we stood on the mountainside to see her. Then in August of 54, the 25th Division was moving from Korea to Schofield Barracks, Hawaii, and needed a fire direction person to go with them, so I volunteered. On the way, we spent a week at Panmunjom, so we saw a lot of GI prisoners held by North Korea return to South Korea. We got to Hawaii. Schofield Barracks had been empty. So I joined 25th Division, 69th Field Artillery, Battery C, for 5 months before returning to the States and discharge.
Kind of an old story in the military that the one thing you don't ever do is volunteer for anything, but when they're saying Hawaii, that's when you do step up and break that rule, right?
Yes. And there was only 3 hotels in Oahu when we got there, and while we were there, the Princess Kailana was built. I and two other soldiers bought a 41 Ford with 92,000 miles, and it turned over 100,000 before I left. And when I left, a fellow from Pennsylvania took charge of it. Hawaii was had a whole 45-mile-an-hour speed limit, which was really fast, but Korea only had a 35-mile-an-hour speed limit.
Of course, when you're driving those heavy trucks up through the mountainous regions in Korea, you were driving a lot slower than that.
Yeah.
Well, you did an awful lot in a two-year hitch. I can't imagine you'd have been able to experience or do quite so much in just 2 years back home.
Not a lot of variety like that was.
No. After you were finished up, I know you took advantage of the money that was accrued during that time, the GI Bill and stuff, to be able to further your education, came home and was able to begin farming, got married, and be able to start your life back here. And all in all, a good experience for you?
Very good. I'm glad it's in the background, though. Went to Elliott on the GI Bill. Night school and earned a farm degree from Iowa State College. Sharon and I started farming on a farm next to my parents, and then in 59 we bought a farm west of Lyman. Lived there for 40 some years.
And you were actually still hooked up with the reserves for a few years after that.
Yeah, I was in the reserves for 8 years, but I got my final discharge April 30 of 1961.
You know, folks think, well, gee whiz, the truce is signed, so you're just on mop-up duty, but mop-up duty isn't easy either.
Transportation for Koreans was mostly walking or a two-wheel cart pulled by a cow, and some cities had buses and rickety taxis at train stations. And farming was all done with cows pulling a wooden plow. Transplanting rice was all done by the women. And the people all lived in shacks and villages and walked out to the farm ground. Everyone had an A-frame on their back. I always called it a pickup truck. And they'd put the plow on the A-frame, lead the cow out to the farms. And they'd carry wood and anything that they wanted to move would be carried on the A-frame.
It's a lot of work. You farmed a little differently when you came home than that, didn't you?
Well, my dad gave me a WC tractor to start farming with, and after that I ended up with 13 Alice Chalmers tractors before I finally switched to Farmall or International.
Yeah, a little different than what you saw those folks doing back there in Korea. Well, Lloyd, thanks for sharing some of your experience and stuff with you here. I appreciate you coming in today and telling us a little bit of the stories and things of your experiences a few years ago. And we appreciate it very much and salute you for your service, too. Thanks for helping to defend us.
Thank you.